Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am here on the line again with Petrina Pelton-Smith, who is the principal consultant for her firm. What's the name of the firm again, Petrina?
The Business of Charity.
Right on, the Business of Charity. Last time we talked about nonprofit board development during a time of pandemic. This time, per your notes, I wanted to definitely talk about nonprofit readiness for grants. How do we start that conversation?
That conversation is making sure that you have the infrastructure in place to go after grants. I started my company because so many individuals were looking for a grant writer. And as I began to engage with them and ask them for some basic information, I recognized that many of them did not have just solid basics. And we're talking budgets. We're talking accounting systems and information about even their program narrative. And so because of that, I began to work with organizations around being grant ready. Many of them want to do grants for events, thinking that that's a program versus a service or an activity. And so I had to even explain to them, if you're looking to do, for instance, one client does every year this annual event around Thanksgiving. And it was not until I think last year when it finally clicked that they were like, oh, we're asking for money for an event. No wonder no one wants to fund us. Yes, that is true. So if you were providing a service, then you want to make sure that what does your program line, what does that mean for your funder? So when you say, okay, I'm providing this as a service, well, what else do you do? In addition to this particular thing, how do your clients, and when they come through the door from point and go from point A to point B, reach the desired outcome that you have for them? And many young organizations, and again, I talk to work with a lot of founders who are starting and launching organizations, and they're trying to shift them from grassroots into adolescent organizations, don't always have that baseline. And so my goal is to help them have that. So my question to them is always, what is your outcome for this? If a client walks in your door and receives this particular service or attends this event, then how does this funder know that you have reached your desired outcome and is willing to fund it? And so that's how we start this conversation. And then we move into obviously some other questions about the organization to ensure that they are ready to go. And unfortunately, not all grant writers, which is one reason why I don't call myself a grant writer per se, but not every grant writer will ask them this information. They will write a grant for them based upon whatever template they are using, but it may not be tailored to that particular organization. And so I really want to make sure that organizations understand that grant writing is more than just talking to someone that can put information on paper and make them look good. They also have to be able to do exactly what that person has stated they can do. And that's usually where they find they're having the trouble.
Right. And the real picture of grants development is actually quite a big picture. It's not just a matter of getting the requirements and sending in an application.
Absolutely. You know, come out with compliance on the other side of that. And what does that look like for them? How do you manage the grant? So you're absolutely right. It is a big picture. I always tell my clients, you just started when you receive the grant award. That's when the hard work actually starts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So we've talked a little bit about programs and services versus activities and events. You've talked about, again, keeping your house in order, making sure the accounting infrastructure is in place. And is that more than just a budget and a database, or is there
absolutely
more?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is in addition to that budget and database accounting system that's going to meet their need. It is also their process as to how they even pay for those obligations. You know, many do not recognize that government grants generally are reimbursement grants. And so that means you have to have the cash on hand to be able to meet that obligation before you can be reimbursed. Foundation grants tend to pay upfront, but still you need to have an accounting system that can account for the fact that you received this funding. And then how do you manage your banking so that you know you're spending appropriately and funds that are earmarked for that grant are being spent. And I once worked with an organization that literally had 10 different bank accounts because that's how they wanted to manage it. Because in their minds, they were like, this is the best way. If I put this grant money in this bank account, I know that I'm only spending money for that particular line item.
My eyes just popped out of my head. I'm like,
hey, I'm sure it did. Yeah. that was about a decade ago. I hope that they have changed since then. But, you know, the other piece of it is having an appropriate accounting system that can code. So, for instance, a lot of clients start out with QuickBooks Online. And that may not meet your needs when you are trying to code multiple grants. In fact, if you're coding multiple grants, it will not meet your needs. You will need to look at another system or even the online desktop version of QuickBooks for nonprofits, which is one that I usually tell clients to purchase and use that as your baseline, because otherwise you're going to struggle to appropriately code your data and make sure that you have in your process the ability to identify where you're spending your funds. And then just having a basic form that says, okay, the executive director, the program director if necessary, and the grant manager have identified this as an appropriate funding category, has approved this expenditure, and now we have supporting documentation, and that's the next piece of it, making sure you have all your documentation to support how you're spending the funds as well, because at the end of the day, they will not come for you immediately, but there will be an audit at some point. Whether that's 2 years from now, whether that's 7 years from now, whether it's a desk review in 90 days, you want to make sure that there are no issues when they do come and review your documents.
So the audit happens even if it was just a small grant?
Even if it was a small grant. And I have seen it with grants as small as $2,700. I'm working with a client right now who received COVID funding for $2,700. And we have a grant report due in about 30 days that says how, and they want us to give them a profit and loss on how we spent their funds.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've not seen it at this level. 2,700 actually is the smallest that I've seen a desk review for. But I've definitely seen it for grants of larger amounts for a monthly stipend. So for a $300,000 grant, one client spent about $10,000 more than they averaged in a month. So instead of about $25,000, they spent about $33,000, and that triggered an immediate desk review. And so had to submit all the documentation to support that expenditure or the expenditures for that month, and came out with no issues at all. But it was because we had already done the hard work of making sure that our process from beginning to end lined up.
Wow.
And so you want to make sure, you know, things like that are already in place before you go out seeking your grants, because if you're trying to put that in place as you go, it just makes it that much more difficult for you to do the work.
Right.
And so that's why I tell my clients, you know what, start now, start out the gate doing what you need to do. And that way, as you are obtaining funding, you're just building upon your process that's already in place.
Right. Right. In your notes to me, you wrote down, a couple of registrations or certifications, specifically DUNS or the SAM, and I had to look them up. I had to learn that DUNS was a Dun & Bradstreet designation that stands for Data Universal Numbering System.
Yes.
And that SAM is the System for Award Management, which is the official U.S. government system that consolidates grants workings for them. Do you have to have these certificates? Do you have to have these registrations in order to apply?
Depends on the funder, but definitely if you are looking for any type of government contract, if you're looking not necessarily even for a government grant, but government contract, you want to work with the government, you will need a DUNS and you will need a SAM. If it is a foundation grant, most of them are okay with you just having your DUNS number without having the SAM. And so if you are looking to pursue large scale funding for your organization, then these are two places where you want to start. and make sure you have this in place.
What do they do for you?
So what it does is that they use this, particularly government grants and foundations will go in to do certifications around one, taxes and compliance. And that's one of the questions that you're certifying is that you don't owe any taxes to the federal government. You don't have any outstanding obligations out there in general to organizations or to businesses. You're handling your credit worthiness basically comes out of that done. So they can see if you've gone out and taken a loan through a payday lender. And a lot of companies don't realize that. One client, and the client still doesn't know, so I definitely won't name them, that one of the first times they hired me, they had to take out a payday loan to do it, to pay my fees. And so it's things like that that a funder can see when they are reviewing your organization and making a determination as to whether or not you're ready for the funding you're seeking.
Right.
And so making sure you have your duns and everything is clean, you've paid all your creditors because they are looking and registering that under that system. And then Sam, same thing, making sure you've met all your obligations, you have met all the qualifications. If you've ever gone through the SAM process, it is pages and pages and pages of certifications that you are stating you are a business that can meet those certification qualifications and requirements. And then once that is done, they issue you a 1 year certification. So you have to renew both of these every year. Duns is simple. You go in, you update that information, you're done. Whereas SAM, you have to go in, update it, and wait for you to go all the way back through the process again. So the SAM process can take anywhere from 30 to 120 days. It just depends on how attentive you are to the process, because there are things they email to you. And if you respond very quickly, that process goes quickly. If you don't, it can drag out because you're starting over each time. And then DUNS usually takes about 24 hours for you to get a complete that registration and receive a number from them.
That part just boggles my mind. I'm like, I confess I've never been part of an organization that did much in the way of federal contracting or federal funding at all. But I've heard the stories, and that just sort of underlines what I've heard. And in addition to that, there's still a lot of, especially for federal grants, there's still a lot of back end compliance and evaluation that goes on once the grant cycle is complete. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And that is the other part that many organizations don't realize, because with foundations, they ask for information such as audited financial statements, they're asking profit and loss, statement of financial position up front. And so when you see that, most organizations shy away and go, okay, I don't have that. And so therefore they don't apply for it. But government grants will do the exact same thing, except they'll give you the money up front. And then a few months into it, or a year into it, and go, okay, it's time for you to meet your compliance. We need all these documents. And if you don't have them, you've just spent a year collecting money that you may have to pay back because you don't meet the qualifications to maintain the funding. So that is the other reason why I work with organizations before we go out and start seeking funding, that you have all these things in place.
Right. So that you don't end up having to pay it back.
Or worse.
Yeah.
Because federal money will land you in jail. And I have the saying with my clients, orange is not the new black for me. And I will not go to jail with or for you. So, yes, I make sure that we have these things before we start applying for funding.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, federal funding, federal fraud in particular, it's bad news. It's
real. And Texas prosecutes that seriously. So, there's not something that I recommend to clients to do unless they are truly ready to jump into that pool.
Right. And thank goodness you're there to help them actually get ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Once again, Patrina, if a listener wanted to contact you with any related questions, how would they go about doing that?
So they are free to go to the website, www.businessofcharity.com, all spelled out. They can also reach me by phone, 832-786-9958. And then, of course, they can always send me an email, Patrina, P as in Paul, A-T-R-I-N-A, @businessofcharity.com.
Patrina, as always, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this episode with me today. I hope we get a chance to do more of these in the future.
Absolutely. This has been great.
To our listeners, thank you as always for joining us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating via whatever mechanism you use to listen to the Snapcast. Your 5-star ratings make us more findable by search engines, and we are grateful to you for helping us grow our audience. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.